From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Today on Let the Bible Speak, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled, Religious but Not Regenerate, part of this series in the book of Joshua. Returning to chapter 7 of Joshua, Dr. Cairns continues to examine the sin of Achan, whose disobedience caused Israel's defeat at Ai and resulted in the deaths of this man and his entire family. In the course of this sobering message, we'll see that most Christians tend to think of Achan's sin and its consequences as a national tragedy, but it also has a very personal aspect. It's a sad fact that many churches have members and regular attenders who give all the appearance of true religion. Yet under the facade of piety lies the tragic truth that they have never been born again. The fate that befell Achan is sure to be visited upon these false professors unless there is true repentance and a wholehearted embracing of Christ as Savior and Lord. Before Dr. Cairns comes to the message, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 27. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. It is well frequently to weigh ourselves in the scale of God's Word. You will find it a holy exercise to read some psalm of David, and as you meditate upon each verse, to ask yourself, Can I say this? Have I felt as David felt? Has my heart ever been broken on account of sin as his was when he penned his penitential psalms? Has my soul been full of true confidence in the hour of difficulty as his was when he sang of God's mercies in the cave of Adullam or in the holds of En-Gedi? Do I take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord? Then turn to the life of Christ, and as you read, ask yourselves how far you are conformed to His likeness. Endeavor to discover whether you have the meekness, the humility, the lovely spirit which He constantly inculcated and displayed. Take then the epistles, and see whether you can go with the apostle in what he said of his experience. Have you ever cried out as he did, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Have you ever felt his self-abasement? Have you seemed to yourself the chief of sinners, and less than the least of all saints? Have you known anything of his devotion? Could you join with him and say, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain? If we thus read God's Word as a test of our spiritual condition, we shall have good reason to stop many a time and say, Lord, I feel I have never yet been here. Oh, bring me here. Give me true penitence, such as this I read of. Give me real faith. Give me warmer zeal. Inflame me with more fervent love. Grant me the grace of meekness. Make me more like Jesus. Let me no longer be found wanting when weighed in the balances of the sanctuary, lest I be found wanting in the scales of judgment. Judge yourselves, that ye be not judged.
Thank you.
The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place," unquote, Joan Pinkston. Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and Be Thou My Vision. These sensitive renditions are sure to bring blessing to your heart and mind each time you listen to them. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
I want to return this morning to the 7th chapter of Joshua, continuing through the book of Joshua, and once again this week in chapter 7. Last week we looked at the very familiar story of the sin of Achan and the terrible results of that sin. We want to look at the passage in a very different way today. We read verse 1 and then 16 to the end. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Verse 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. Behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. We tend to think of the story of Achan as a great national tragedy. Achan's sin cost the children of Israel a very necessary victory, and it led immediately to the deaths of 36 Israeli soldiers at the hands of their enemies. It also had a very long-term effect and a very negative effect on the future affairs and battles of Israel. So it was a national tragedy. But it was also very much a personal tragedy. Here we have the ruin of a life and the ruin of a family. The last sight we catch of Achan and of his family is of them as fuel for the furious fire of the wrath of God. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And it says our God is a consuming fire. It is truly a tragedy. I think we could go further. It is truly the ultimate tragedy for any man to fall into the hands of the living God and to suffer the wrath of Him who is that consuming fire. To lose health or wealth or home or reputation would be a sore trial to any man. But to lose the soul is the greatest tragedy, the greatest personal tragedy that can ever befall any man. In this day, I realize that men and women tend to think very little of the soul. Many of you may remember Dr. Panosian coming here and doing his brilliant one-man presentations of the great reformers, coming as Martin Luther and then coming as John Calvin. When he dealt with John Calvin, dealing with the great controversy that has arisen over the fact that people suffered capital punishment in the days of the reformers because of open and wicked blasphemy against God. Trying to explain that, he said, as if he were Calvin, in the 20th century, you think everything of the body and very little of the soul. But in the 16th century, we thought everything of the soul and very little of the body. I think that that certainly tells a story. I read a modern parable very recently. The parable was that a rich man, a great master, left a little child carefully wrapped in clothes with a servant and told him to tend them while he was gone. After some time, the master came back and he found the servant with the clothes well washed and neatly ironed and set out in a little pile before him. And he said, "Master, there are the clothes. I have tended them carefully. I have washed them. I have kept them. I have ironed them. And there they are." And when the master said, "But where is the child?" He said, "Oh, I don't know. I looked after the clothes, sir, but I lost the child." The moral was that God has given us an immortal soul. Oh, it is wrapped in a body that is a marvel of God's creation, but it is still just the clothing. And so many are tending to the clothing. They look after its health and its welfare, as well they should. It's part of what God has given them to do. But in looking after the clothing, in looking after the body, in looking after its wants and its pleasures, so many have to come to the master and say, "I have lost the soul." And I tell you that the loss of the soul is an irreversible and eternal loss. For any man to lose his soul is a tragedy. But when that man is an Achan, the tragedy is compounded. For Achan was named among the people of God. Achan's name, and this is why the Holy Spirit is careful to give us his genealogy. Achan's name was in the genealogies of Israel. He was Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. He came from a long line of God's covenant people. He was accepted by the whole gathered company of Israel as being one of their number, but with the name of a child of God, and with the public acceptance that went along with that name, with the reputation of being a child of God. Yet he remained a carnal man and an unrenewed sinner, a man who paid the price of his sin with his immortal soul. That's the aspect of the story of Achan that I want to concentrate upon today. Because as I pondered this passage, the awful realization dawned in my soul that here I'm dealing with a man who was religious but never regenerated. And my mind came out of the ancient histories of Israel into the modern history of our own church. And I thought of people who come and they sit from week to week. And if the truth were known, God would write the name of Achan over many. Religious, but not regenerated. Can I point out to you that Achan had many of the appearances of a child of God, but he remained an unrenewed sinner, an unregenerate man. Here was a man who was born and raised in an Orthodox Jewish home. Here was a man who lived his life, who got married, and who reared his own children, still within the pale of the Orthodox Jewish Church. He was a member of the Jewish nation. He took part in all their wars. He took part in all their works. He shared all their expectations as the promise of God began to unfold before them. He was among those who was circumcised at Gilgal. He partook in that memorable Passover feast at Gilgal. And he marched with the army of Israel and fought against the Amorites of Jericho. But with all that, admitting it all, he still remained a carnal man, unsaved, unforgiven, unregenerate, and unrenewed. He had all the appearances, but nothing of the inward reality.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.